Well, these readings during Holy Week are all in anticipation of the coming death of the Lord. So today, on this Tuesday of Holy Week, we have the passage from John chapter 13, the Last Supper. And the disciples are reclining at table with the Lord. The Lord, of course, would be in the center of a horseshoe-shaped table. They'd be reclining, leaning up on one elbow, and with all of them facing towards the center. And it says that John noticed how deeply troubled the Lord was. See, the Lord being God, he knew what was about to happen to him. He knew the betrayal. He knew the agony in the garden. He could see all these things ahead of time. See, he knew the scourging, the crowning with thorns, the carrying of the cross, the crucifixion. So that's this whole weight of the sorrows came over the Lord. It says he was deeply troubled. He knew that Judas would betray him. And he now announced to the disciples, "Amen, amen. Verily, verily, truly, truly," he says, "I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples all looked around at each other. They couldn't figure out who it was. And we know that John was leaning up next to Christ. He was the one right next to the Lord, as you see in the window, the magnificent window of the Last Supper. You see John the Beloved wearing the purple priestly vestments, the one leaning towards Christ. And Peter, who of course is very impetuous, he could not wait. And he signals to John, "Find out who it is." You know why? Because Peter was going to beat the guy up. You know, that's the way Peter was. Peter was just going to take him out back and beat him up. And so Peter wants to find out who it is. So John leans back against the Sacred Heart of Christ and says, "Master, who is it?" And Jesus reveals who it was. But he doesn't give a name. He says, "The one whom I dip the morsel and then hand it to." Now, it would be bread that would be dipped in a sauce made of sour wine, raisins, and dates. That was how they made their sauces. And so it was an act of friendship. If you went to somebody's house and the host dipped a piece of bread into the sauce and gave it to you, it was an act of friendship, an act of reconciliation. So this was the Lord's last chance, his last effort to show kindness and charity to Judas. It was an act of love, an act of friendship, an act of reconciliation. So he does it and he hands it to Judas. And that would indicate to John who would betray him. It says Judas took the piece of bread and he ate it. And then Satan entered him. So perhaps at this point then, Judas would be possessed. It does not diminish Judas's responsibility and culpability, because this was in Judas's plot to eventually hand the Lord over. But it says Satan entered him. The Lord says to him, "What you're going to do, do quickly." And they figured that Judas had to go out to buy something for the feast day or to give something to the poor. It says Judas left at once. And it was night. Bishop Sheen says, it is always night when we leave the Lord. We always leave the light and go into the darkness whenever we leave the Lord. Because Christ is the light of the world. And Judas was leaving it, going into the darkness. That's why when you look at the window again, you'll see that all the apostles are in the light. Peter is there holding the keys to represent which one is Peter. And then Judas is going into the darkness. See that? He's in the shadows. He's turning away with his money bag, turning away from the light into the darkness. And then the Lord says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." See, how could his passion and death be his glorification? Well, this was the necessary step to the resurrection. So Jesus now was going to be glorified. He's going to perfectly fulfill the Father's will. He's about to undergo the way of the cross, the crucifixion, but this will lead to the glorification of the resurrection and ascension and sitting at the right hand of the Father. And then the Lord predicts that he will now have to leave them. He says, I have told the Jews, now I'm telling you where I'm going, you cannot come. Of course, St. Peter, so impetuous, says, where are you going? And Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot follow me, though you will follow me later. So he predicts Peter's ultimate death. You see up in the window up there, the keys of St. Peter with the upside down cross, which reminds us that Peter would eventually die of crucifixion. He would one day die for Christ. Peter says, why can't I follow you now? And Peter, in his boastfulness and even in his pride, says, I will lay down my life for you. So we have to be careful of spiritual pride. We have to be careful of thinking that we can handle things without the grace of God. So we should never sort of rush off to martyrdom thinking, oh, I'm going to be a martyr for Christ. Well, that could be pride. We have to depend upon the grace of God. So Peter, in his pride, thinking he can do things by himself, says, I'll lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, will you? Before the morning, before 6 o'clock in the morning, before the cock crows, you will even three times, not once, Peter, not twice, but three times, you will deny that you even know me. See, that's what we're like without the grace of God. That's the human side. That's our weakness without the grace of God. So Peter, three times, will deny the Lord. So during this Holy Week, we meditate and think about these events of the Last Supper. We think about the sorrow that Christ had and knowing that he was going to be betrayed, and then that even Peter would deny him three times. And it is this week that we try to spend extra time in prayer with the Lord, in adoration, in coming to Mass, to try to give the Lord special comfort and consolation as he's about to enter into his agony and death.